your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
This, Jamie, directed at you from Dan in Dallas, off the Gates Flooring Center chat line. Chuck, talking about the, quote, what if game, unquote. What if Jamie had gotten new pins this season? Do you see any blame there?
Oh, man. If the... We're relying on the Tech baseball team. My pens are a factor in us winning or losing. Man, we're in trouble. But I do know that I am going to move on from this set of pens at the end of the year.
Okay, we're glad to hear that, and I'm sure Dan in Dallas, among others, would be glad to contribute to the cause if that's necessary.
Yeah, my two jobs pay me, you know, enough to afford a pack of five pens or ten pens or whatever, so I appreciate it, but I can get that myself.
No GoFundMe, okay?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Okay. I'm good. Yeah.
Paul says this, I'll throw shade towards Jamie. It's his fault. Wow. They're quick to come after you, Jamie.
They are the same ones from last year. They are not new. And the reason, honestly, I mean, that factors in is there's a couple of them that they don't write as bright as they used to. And I can't stand that. So.
Okay. Hey, the Red Raider basketball team got a commitment yesterday. And this young man's a freshman, Jamie. And he is somebody that had committed to Michigan way back in the day, but after the dismissal of Juwan Howard, he decommitted. He'd actually signed with Michigan, got himself out of his national letter of intent with the new coach Dusty May so that he could go elsewhere, and he is a four-star point guard, and he is now committed to Texas Tech University. He's from Atlanta. His dad played a lot of basketball in Europe, so he is a well-traveled young man. So that's exciting that you're able to bring in somebody that can shoot the ball and apparently has dead-eye shooting. We'll see. Once you get to the Big 12 level, it becomes a little bit different competition, obviously. But that's a good get for you, I think, with Christian Anderson coming to the Red Raiders and Grant McCaslin's team.
Yeah, hopefully that's good news. You know, I love having freshmen. At the same time, it always makes me wonder a little bit about things like, you've now signed two freshmen, and that's kind of not what college basketball teams are doing a whole lot of. And so does that mean that you're not hitting on who you wanted in the more veteran transfer portal market, and so you're going with freshmen to kind of fill the holes, or because it feels like we still need a few more guys, right, that are ready to play and contribute and be great right away, you know? So, I wonder about that a little bit, but you know me, I like bringing in freshmen, so that's great. Seems like a good get. Gives me a little bit of pride to hear that we outbid Michigan for his services. So that's good.
Well, it kind of makes me, frankly, it makes me wonder, how did he fit with Dusty May's offense versus what he was going to fit with Juwan Howard? You know, how much difference was there? Just in reading an article about Michigan this morning, they had one spot left, but and they've added a bunch of guards. So, you know, maybe he wasn't the type of player that Dusty May wanted, and maybe that wasn't the type of setting or offense that he had envisioned when he committed to Michigan under Juwan Howard. And maybe there's just a better opportunity here to play more.
Yeah. Yeah, and that may be true. That may be true. But I think it's great when you're bringing in freshmen, because we just don't do much of that anymore. And nobody does. I'm not saying just us, but nobody does.
Right. It's the win now mentality that we've got.
Right. So I'm a fan of that.
You know, I think the other freshman that they signed was more of a project, more of a guy that I don't know that there'll be a real high expectation from this season. I mean, you got to have some people to practice with. You got to have some people to develop. I think there's still, what did we see last year? I mean, he was adding people up to the very end. So I guess we just have to trust and wait, right, to see how this mm-hmm. how this roster develops. It seems like we're seeing more activity earlier this year than we did last year. Of course, last year, I mean, at this point in time, he's barely a month into a new job, you know, and trying to get settled and trying to get a staff hired and all those kinds of things. So I don't know. We'll see how that works out for the Red Raider men's basketball team. But, you know, on one hand, you go, it's only May. But then on the other hand, you go, well, you know, 6 months from now, they'll be hooping it up. And so you'd like to have everybody in place pretty quick in the summer so that you can, you know, take advantage of summer workouts and, you know, things along those lines so that they can play together and you know, get acclimated to, you know, Coach McCaslin's system and what he expects from his guys and all those things. So you'd like to get everybody in as quickly as you can. So we'll see what happens there as far as that Red Raider basketball roster is concerned. So I don't know. Somebody says this. Yeah, I saw this too. I saw a couple things. I don't know if I gave you his numbers. His numbers in high school were that he was 5'11", but apparently he's still growing. He's up to 6'1". So I don't know what he is in his flat feet versus his sneaks, but he's somewhere between 5'11 and 6'1". But I think the big thing is that he can run the show and shoot the ball. Now can he do it at the next level, the Big 12 level? Okay. So we'll see.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Going to start us off in 1943 for the fastest nine-inning American League Baseball night game. Why we needed all the monikers, I don't know, but it got all of them. It was 89 minutes long. Chicago White Sox beat the Washington Senators 1-0.
Do you have it in your notes that I once went to a game at Royal Stadium where they didn't turn the lights on for a night game?
I do not.
Okay.
I don't remember that story.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't that quick, but it was quick.
Wow.
1952, Brooklyn Dodgers score 15 runs in their first inning and beat the Cincinnati Reds 19-1.
Not much production after the first.
When you score 15 in the first, you don't need a whole lot afterwards.
Playing not to lose from then on, right?
1968, Billy Williams of the Chicago Cubs sets an outfielder record for playing in 695 straight MLB games. 1977, in the 102nd Preakness, Seattle slew wins with a time of 1:54.4. 1996, Ken Griffey Jr. at 26 is the eighth youngest to hit 200 career home runs. And in 2015, Texas Tech stayed alive in the Big 12 championship play with an 8-1 victory over number 2 TCU while eliminating the Horned Frogs. The Red Raiders used 11 base hits, 2 home runs, and a dominating pitching performance from senior right-handed pitcher Corey Taylor, who tossed 5 scoreless frames, allowing only 4 hits with 2 strikeouts and a walk. We could use a lot of that today.
We could. I was thinking the same thing.
That was 2015, Jeff?
Correct.
Yeah, you would lose to Baylor the next day and your season would end.
We don't want any of that.
Yeah, but it was good to beat the Horns that day, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
It is national. Well, remember yesterday was Pick Strawberries Day,
right?
Well, today is Strawberries and Cream Day, which is, you know, fitting, and also Eat More Fruit and Vegetables Day.
What's your take on the cream aspect of it?
The strawberries and cream? Yeah, I don't know that I've ever had strawberries and cream. What actually is the cream?
Yeah, it's not like whipped cream. It's like a. Mm-hmm. I think it's just cream.
Well, it could also be ice cream.
Well, if it's
that's my favorite dessert: strawberries and ice cream, vanilla ice cream.
Happy birthday, Kansas killer Daryl Dora turns 39 today.
He's just 39. Nice.
39. Josh Allen, 28. Mr. T, 72. Josh Hamilton, 43. Bobby Cox, who probably just got ejected again, is 83. And Dave Wannstedt is 72.
Which Josh Allen?
Josh Hamilton from Texas Tech. From the Texas Rangers.
Josh Hamilton. I thought you said Josh Allen.
I did too.
Oh, no. Yeah, Josh Allen and Josh Allen. Josh Allen from your Buffalo Bills.
Okay. Because there's a defensive end for the Jags. It's Josh Allen, too.
And on this day in 1901, Connecticut becomes the very first state to pass a law regulating motor vehicles, limiting their speed to 12 miles per hour in cities and 15 on the county roads. Speed limits had been set earlier in the United States for non-motorized vehicles. In 1652, the colony of New Amsterdam, now known as New York, issued a decree stating that no wagons, carts, or sleighs shall be run, rode, or driven at a gallop. All the risk of incurring a fine starting at £2 Flemish, or about $150 today. And that is this day in sports history.
All right, it's time for our lucky local winning word. We'll give you a word. You go to DoubleT973.com for that and enter it in. It's coming to you from DoubleT973 and the Home Zone. All you have to do is enter this word, and you could win some cash today, like our friend Matt Baker did last Thursday. He won $500. Today's winning word at 6:45 is Tigers. Tigers, T-I-G-E-R-S. Go to DoubleT973.com for that and enter that, and you could win some cash today. If you do, we will let you know, okay? So go to DoubleT973.com for that. All right, so one of the recipes I see here for strawberries and cream includes Greek yogurt. Strawberries and cream is a traditional Mexican dessert recipe made with sweet condensed milk, whipping cream, sour cream, and strawberries. I'm kind of out. As I'm looking at it, it doesn't look very appetizing to me. What is the tradition of strawberries and cream? Strawberries and cream were served to all spectators at the first Wimbledon, right?
Yeah, they still do.
They still do.
Big deal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. What is strawberries and cream made of? Yeah, it's... It doesn't look like what we would like it to look like. Like what you said, strawberries and ice cream. I'm with Jamie on that. I also used to like at the 32 Flavors place, or 31, whatever it was, a strawberry shake, Jamie, with real vanilla ice cream and real strawberries chopped up in it, to make it a strawberry shake, as opposed to strawberry ice cream with a strawberry shake. It just tasted different. Tasted better.
Oh, I didn't know that anybody made a strawberry shake with strawberry ice cream. I thought it was always real strawberries and vanilla ice cream.
No, you have to ask for it that way. You have to ask for it to be a strawberry shake. Please use the real vanilla ice cream and real strawberries. May cost
a lot of places, that you get shakes don't even have ice cream.
True.
I mean,
anymore.
Don't have strawberry ice cream.
Yeah. Anymore, right. This from Centex Hank. Weird random thought listening to this day in sports history. It isn't really relevant, but I don't think Rod Carew gets enough credit for being a great hitter. That is a weird thought, Centex Hank. And I think, you know, Rod Carew in his day got plenty of, I think he got plenty of credit. I mean, I remember Rod Carew being an everyday player for the Minnesota Twins and the Angels, and every announcer that came up, well, here's Rod Carew. He could get a hit just climbing out of bed.
He's a guy maybe when we mention guys that today's baseball wouldn't love that maybe gets forgotten. We always mention Tony Gwynn. He's a great singles and doubles hitter.
Mm-hmm.
But Rod Carew was very similar to that, just kind of before Tony Gwynn's time.
Yeah.
Because he didn't hit a lot of home runs.
No.
He's my favorite batting stance to emulate.
Right. Robert says this, I hate today's pace for Major League Baseball games. You don't have time to go to the restroom.
Hadn't
really considered that. Well, you can hit.
It is interesting that it goes so fast. Yeah.
I mean, you can always, if you're watching, you can always hit pause, right? You can hit pause and get caught up on it, you know? Just, you know, hit pause. Somebody says this, Carew won umpteen batting titles. Yep, no doubt. He was an 18-time All-Star. He was a 7-time batting champion. He was the American League Most Valuable Player in 1977. Rookie of the Year, Roberto Clemente Award. His number was retired by the Twins and by the Angels, and he's in both the Twins and the Angels Hall of Fame and, of course, in the Baseball Hall of Fame. 90.5% of vote on the first ballot.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Jamie, we got the report yesterday that one of the cranes was being dismantled. I'd say coming down, but if you say coming down about a crane, kind of sounds like that's not good news, like a crane is toppling or falling over or coming down. But they did are in the process of taking down one of the cranes over at Jones Stadium. There's still a couple of them up. The other thing that they did yesterday is they put a top on the Double T scoreboard, and it looks really cool. It's a Texas Tech top. It says it's black and it says Texas Tech on it, so it gives just a nice little, final, like a top hat, you know, on somebody's head. So gives it a little extra flair, a little extra nice look to it. So gives it a little style. It's black with Texas Tech in white, and
gonna look really good for all the people flying over it.
Well, people that are in the stadium too, that'll be able to see it.
The top of it?
Yeah, you can see it in the stadium.
I'm not sure you can see it from my seat in the press box.
I don't know why you wouldn't be able to see it from your seat in the press box. I mean, you might.
It's not higher than that?
I don't know. I've seen one game from the press box, so I don't know. I'm not the best to. I mean, the angle that you look down from the press box is probably not the. I mean, you're up there, what, 12, 13 stories? You might have to look a little bit. Might have to crook your neck just a little bit, but I mean, I think it looks pretty cool.
Nobody's saying that it doesn't look cool. Jeff's saying you can't look down on top of it.
Yeah, I've got a picture from my seat showing the scoreboard. I got no shot at seeing the top of the Double T. And that's the new stadium.
Okay.
It'll look really good in drone flyovers, though.
Okay, well, I think it'll look just fine from my seat. I mean, because I sit down.
But you won't see the top of it, though.
I'll see the Texas Tech on the top.
I think you two are talking about two different things. Jeff is talking about
the big Double
top.
T at the south end zone.
Yeah, right.
On the very top in the back big flat part.
We're not saying, will you be able to see the top of the front, Chuck? Jeff is talking about on top of the Double T, okay? Not the highest part of the front, but the top.
Oh, yeah, sure, right. I agree with that.
You guys are talking about two different things.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I was confused at which top we were talking
about. Yeah, the very top, yeah, you'll be able to see it if you're on a Southwest jet. Yeah, but you'll be able to see the Texas Tech there.
Yes.
that's really what I was talking about. Was it? I just thought it looked kind of cool. That's it.
Yeah, I think when you say, I don't know, it's just that was. Sometimes we make my head hurt.
Yeah, so I agree. Sometimes I make my own head hurt. You know, Anyway, so it looks good. It's coming to a conclusion over there at Jones Stadium. Which is good because we're going to play football, you know, June, July, August, 3 months and 10 days from now. Okay?
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. So, I mean, it's coming fast and furious. I have a top 25 for you, Jamie. And when I look at this and I think about this, it makes me feel like, well, not that anybody can win the Big 12, but it sure feels like that it's that there's a lot of people that could win the Big 12 this year. Because the highest ranked team for the Big 12 is at number 9, and that's Utah. Other teams ranked ahead of them include Georgia's number 1. The number 2 team, according to this 24/7 sports article, is Ohio State. Texas is number 3. I have a hard time believing that Texas will be number 3 when it's all said and done, just because they haven't proven that they can do that. Oregon is 4. And then Notre Dame is 5. I feel the same way about Notre Dame. Feels like that they're paper tigers, that they look really good in May, but not so much in November when it's all said and done. Ole Miss is 6. Alabama is 7. Missouri is 8. They won't finish in the top 10. And then Utah, number 9. Okay? And their big thing is their quarterback returning, Cam Rising. It'll be interesting to see what the Big 12 schedule does for them. Is it tougher? Is it easier? All those kinds of things. But you have to then go, when you look at this particular top 25, the next ranked team, Jamie, from the Big 10, or Big 12, I should say, is at number 17, and that's K-State. So K-State's 17. Oklahoma now in the SEC is 18. And then at number 19 is Oklahoma State. So you have 3 teams in the top 25, okay, or top 20. And then you go to Arizona, Kansas, being ranked. Arizona's 20 and Kansas is 22nd. So I guess I look at this and go, doesn't just look like anybody is, with the exception of Utah, considered just a ferocious team in the Big 12. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's kind of what we've all kind of thought all along, right? That there would be no clear cut and no dominant program this year.
Right. So, I mean, that's kind of where you stand right now. When it comes to basketball, and I've got a basketball too early top 25 we'll get to later, but the biggest question mark for Texas Tech right now is the healthier quarterback.
Yeah, that seems like a big one.
Right. Let's see here. This from the 8th Flooring Center chat line from Syntex Inc. I love these conversations. Somebody else says, LOL, makes my day. Somebody else says, good Lord. Somebody else says, the only problem I have with the sign is that the backside of it's blank. I think it needs to have something like home of the it on it. Hey, they may not be done. You know, there may be some more work that they're doing. You know?
Well, I mean, I don't disagree with that. I guess it's a little surprising that it doesn't have anything on it, if that's the case.
I've not been over there to look and see what's on the back of it. You know, the old double T had Red Raiders written in script on it.
Yeah, I would assume that this one would too, right? Just because it's visible.
Right. So I just, like I said, yeah. I've not gotten my hard hat out and looked over there.
Chuck, can you go look at all your Christmas cards and see what it says on the back there for us?
Jamie, as a matter of fact, what I was doing is I was going to look at my pictures from the 2022.
Yeah, not your pictures, your Christmas cards, because you claim everybody has Christmas cards.
Well, they only do the front. They only do the front of that, Jamie. They do the front of that. They don't.
They don't do
the back side of that. They do the front of that. Okay, and I'm sure that with the score.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense.
Yeah, with the score, but he's talking about the backside behind, you know, where you'll have the walkway between the Sports Performance Center and I don't know. Like I said, I have not been over there to inspect the backside of it, but I've had all my eyes on the south end zone and how it looks and how the double T looks, and I've got to tell you that I'm really impressed with how it all looks. I think it's going to be just outstanding. I think it's going to be the envy of the Big 12, Jamie. Jones Stadium will be the envy of the Big 12.
Okay. That's good.
From a fan standpoint and all that goes with it. So I look forward to seeing how it affects the field goal kickers when it's all closed in like that. Because I think it'll have an effect on it when it's all said and done, and just hope it doesn't affect our guys too much. See, on the back of it, it said Texas Tech, and it also said Red Raiders written out in cursive, Jamie. And then on the top, it said Jones AT&T Stadium on the back side of it. And so who knows? Maybe it will when it's all said and done.
I bet it will.
They got a crane up there. They'll put some lettering on there and make it all look nice and special.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Jamie's question of the day on Double T 97.3 is brought to you by Kinetico of West Texas.
All right, guys. Don't blame me for this. Blame Chuck. This is Chuck's fault that I'm going to ask this question.
Wow.
And so I'm going to go there. So I want you to tell me what your current prediction is for the Red Raider football season if Baron Morton's healthy, and then I want you to tell me what your prediction is if he takes less than half the snaps.
I think it's pretty simple. 8-4, 4-8.
Ooh. I think,
yeah. Yeah. 8-4, 4-8.
That's
okay.
Not a lot of faith in Taj Brooks. I've got significantly more faith than that on the low end. 9-3, 8-4. That feels right. I'll go with 8-4 there. 6-6, bare bones. I trust Taj to get 6 wins. I don't think you'll need Baron Morton to be a bowl eligible team. I think you can rely on your running game and your defense. So, yeah, 6-6.
Okay. I'm an 8-4 guy like Chuck. I'm definitely not a 4-8 without Baron. I was excited to hear how quick Coach McGuire announced that Cameron Brown had, you know, had claimed that number 2 spot. And so that gave me a little bit of confidence that you know, he had shown out, and that they felt like there was no question he was deserving of it. I think I'm with Jeff. I think I'll let it drop to 6-6, but I think I'm closer to 7-5 than 6-6, but I'm going to go 6-6.
Because you feel like that,
Well, because I feel like you have a lot of offensive talent around him. I think the wide receiving core is going to be better. I think the running game is still really good. I'd like to think your offensive line is going to be better. So I feel like your wide receivers are just so much better. And then I still think you're going to be a solid defense. Whether Baron Morton's in there or not, I think you should be a good defense again. So I like the schedule that you have. I just – all of those things factor in.
Okay.
But you feel like Cameron Brown
I don't know enough about him. I mean, he was a Division II quarterback, you know.
I mean, that's a massive change from 8-4 to 4-8. Yeah, no, I get it. I understand your point, Chuck. That's fair.
You know,
But you also had another guy who took snaps last year in Big 12 games, unfortunately, mm-hmm. you know, because of injury, and then you have a very highly regarded freshman. So
that they want to keep, you know, the freshman tag on, although you kind of go, well, in today's NCAA, you know, why are you saving him for somebody else? You just use him up yourself, right?
Well, I mean, you don't want to use it if you're not going to actually need him.
But I mean, if Will Hammond gives you
if Baron Morton goes down and he's the best guy to win, especially if Baron Morton's not there for significant time, they're going to use him.
Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I think I was shocked. Yeah, I was shocked when because I thought, oh, this is just kind of a, you know, we're going to get the, well, we got to talk to everybody kind of thing. I was shocked when he said that Cameron Brown was the number two. I really was. I mean, I've been in enough of those things over the years with enough of those different coaches to go, okay, well, this is, we're not going to get the answer here. Because it usually at the end of spring, well, we want to evaluate the tape, we want to talk to the players, we want to tell everybody our decision. But nope, clearly they had already done that, which I credit them for doing that. I credit Coach McGuire for being honest. But I was shocked when he said, yeah, Cameron Brown's our number two. So that was a little surprising to me, you know, and then I kind of wondered, well, is Jake Strong going to stick around? But clearly is.
If, you know, that's a whole different story, right? If Cameron Brown played a bunch this year and Jake Strong didn't, then you're probably right. He probably would be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I think I understand when you sign a Division II quarterback or whatever, you don't immediately think, okay, well, this is a game changer in our program.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, clearly they felt like it was a guy that would be an upgrade at the quarterback position.
And your style, the style of the offense would change too, because he would be more of a running quarterback than anything else. And so you would have a different look at quarterback than what you have right now. But let's see, a couple thoughts here from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. That's crazy. This team should be 6-6 at worst without Barron. Joey has really failed if this team doesn't make a bowl game, regardless of quarterback's situation. 9-3, 7-5, or 6-6. Somebody else says this. I've been able to go to watch practice. Seeing Cameron Brown practice, he looks like a stud. Ain't no Barron, but great different change of pace.
Yeah. That's kind of how I envisioned mm-hmm. him when they signed him. Mm-hmm. I thought that he would be a guy that they would use in different packages and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. A change of pace guy.
Yeah, change of pace guy. Here's a question for you. Do you wish you still had Donovan Smith, knowing what you know about Baron Morton right now? Or was it you were going to lose Donovan or you were going to lose Baron, and you made the choice of saying, hey, we'd rather have Baron than Donovan?
Who in their right mind would say no?
Well, I mean,
right mind would say no. I'm glad we don't. I don't wish we had Donovan Smith.
My question was going to be, okay, you're right. You're right about that. You're right. You're right about that. Now here's the question: would you have chosen Donovan over Baron and let Baron transfer and go somewhere else?
I would not have.
You would not have.
And I was a big Donovan Smith fan, but no, I would not have.
Yeah.
I thought Baron had more upside than Donovan.
Yeah. I think you're probably right about that. I think you're probably right about that. All right, 7:40 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Thank you for being with us today on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. The Boom 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 is next.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
On Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. We come to you from the First United Bank studio and getting you ready for Big 12 baseball today as they're in Arlington for the Big 12 tournament. Red Raiders won't play until 7:30 tonight. That's when the first pitch is. Our coverage at 7 o'clock this evening. We'll take your thoughts and comments this morning and all morning long on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. Go to TT973.com for that, or the mobile app. The Visual Edge IT hotline is open, too, at 806-771-0973. Jimmy, you last played Texas back in March. It's been quite a ways since you played Texas. A lot has happened. What is different about Texas Tech's baseball team today versus that series in March in which they won the middle game on a Saturday?
Less pitching depth.
Okay.
And that's not the answer you wanted, but that's the truth.
No, I was seeking. I'm a truth,
yeah, no, I
truth
mean,
seeker.
You want me to give you good news, right? But I really doesn't feel like there's much to give.
Yeah. Yeah, you played them March 8th, 9th, and 10th, and Tech lost the Friday night game to Texas 22-8.
One miserable weather night with the wind blowing out.
This was in Lubbock. Won the middle game 7-2, and then lost the Sunday game 9-7.
Mac Cuer was really good on Saturday.
Yeah, so I mean, and he's a guy that you. Do you think he'll start a game, Jamie, or do you see him in relief this week?
If you see him, I would guess, Chuck, that's hard. I would guess a start, maybe. Maybe he's the third starter if he got to a third game.
Okay, he went six innings. Go ahead.
But that's really a guess. Yeah. I just really don't know.
He went six, gave up three hits, two runs. They were earned, walked one, and struck out eight. Is that his best performance of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. He's really good against UCF on the road, too. But, yeah, that's probably his best performance of the season.
I mean, Ryan Freed came in. He gave up just a hit. Josh Sanders gave up just a hit. Man, that's probably as good overall day as the Red Raiders had, maybe from a pitching standpoint this season. Kyle Robinson's day on Friday, I mean, it was, like you said, the weather was just – it was just awful, which we've had an awful lot of awful weekends this spring for whatever reason. It's just maybe been our spring to have them. I mean, this past weekend was probably as hot a weekend as we've had all year. I mean, it's been rainy, it's been cold, it's been windy, it's just been miserable. Kyle Robinson in his outing. For the Red Raiders, he pitched 3 2/3, 11 hits, 11 runs, all of them earned, walked three, struck out three. And was that Zane Petty's last performance this year, Jamie, in that game?
No, his last performance was in a midweek.
Okay.
Where he started an inning and walked three consecutive batters, then got a couple outs, and then he walked another guy, walked in a run, and then struck another guy out, and that was the end of him.
Okay. Yeah, because in that game against Texas there, he went 1 1/3, 4 hits, 5 runs, all of them earned, walked one, and struck out.
I think he got moved out of the rotation after that point.
Yeah. So, obviously, Kyle Robinson wants to have a much better performance than he did his last time out against Texas. Is there anything substantially different about Texas since you last played them?
I think they're playing their best baseball right now of the season. I mean, They've won 15 of their last 21. They've won six straight Big 12 series. They won 9 out of 10 Big 12 series this year. That's really impressive. Here's the most impressive part, though, Chuck. In the 10 Big 12 series they had, they went to a road rematch game 3 7 times. That's what their record is in those 7 games.
I'm going to guess 7-0.
7-0 in rubber match game 3s. That's really impressive. Really impressive.
No doubt.
But here's the positive thing. Okay. More times than not, it was game 1 that they lost. They're just 4-6 in series openers. So maybe they'll lose the series opener here in the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, because they're gambling a little bit today, right? I mean, they're throwing a guy that's not a weekend starter.
They're not throwing their ace.
So
by any stretch. Yeah.
So they're gambling a little bit. They're basically saying to you or to us, our offense is going to be better than your offense, and our guy that's going to go out and pitch, he's a lefty, and you said earlier, soft tossing left-hander. Seems historically that we've had a struggle hitting soft tossing left-handers. I don't know if that's because trying to swing too hard or swing big or swing for the home run, or if it's just one of those things.
They're just crafty. They're just crafty.
Yeah.
And again, he didn't dominate you by any stretch. You scored 3 runs in 4 2/3 innings. So, and to be honest with you, I think Tim Tadlock and Matt Gardner would have, in Texas's situation, they would have done the same thing. They wouldn't have started their ace today.
Yeah, I mean they're the 3 seed. They probably feel they're comfortably in the NCAA tournament. They might have a chance to improve their seed or their lie a little bit. Do you see the NCAA tournament sending them to College Station?
I mean, I absolutely think it's possible, sure.
Do you think there'll be outrage by Texas or A&M by doing that, like there has been maybe for football bowl games, or is it less of an issue?
I don't think there'll be outrage, no.
Okay.
809. Didn't they just play each other in the regional last year or the year before? I'm pretty sure they did in Austin.
Okay, so it's maybe not that big, maybe not that big a deal to them. Seems like it's a bigger deal for bowl games in football than it is for baseball, and probably would be for basketball. Would be a slight outrage for them.
I don't think the Aggies hate playing the Longhorns as much as they hated playing the Red Raiders, who they feel like were lesser, where they had nothing to gain.
Okay.
Playing the Longhorns is a big name and all that good stuff. Playing Texas Tech to them was a lesser team that, again, you lose to Tech, well, you're A&M. You should never lose to Tech, right? That's how they think. And
this has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.